Welcome to the Table Podcast, where we discuss issues of God and culture. Brought to you by Dallas Theological Seminary.
So if I were to ask you, what would you hope someone who goes to the movie, and this is probably a terrible question to ask someone who does a movie, you know, because I'll let them react wherever they react to whatever it is that I do, but what would your hope be if someone goes to see The Hornet's Nest or watches it on DVD? What do you hope their reaction would be?
You know what? Here's, honestly, like, ticker tape parades are wonderful and a beautiful gesture, but the day after the tape has fallen, mm-hmm. you know, what's left? Mm-hmm. And so even after people see the film and they applaud and, you know, there's a beautiful reaction there, what I'm more concerned about is when they come home into their communities, how are they going to connect with their veterans? Mm-hmm. You know, how are they going to connect with, you know, some of these people who have been through some pretty tough things? Mm-hmm. Are they going to have patience? Mm-hmm. Are they going to have love? Are they going to step out and mm-hmm. Really care? Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate thank yous and I appreciate hugs. But more than that, it's just the relationships that I think what we're going to be needing as mm-hmm. we move forward. Mm-hmm. As this, you know, America's longest war comes to a close, mm-hmm. our community is going to be responding with relationships and love.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be this may not be fair to ask you this, but we're going to be absorbing back into our society a large amount of veterans. Do you have any idea what that number would be?
So that is, over the next 2 years, we're looking at between 150,000 and 170,000 who are going to be leaving military service mm-hmm. and coming back into the communities. Mm-hmm. You know, we are doing budget cuts. Mm-hmm. The military is going to be reduced unless mm-hmm. Congress suddenly changes something.
Yeah.
That is happening. And so we have to begin getting ready for that. But also, I mean, over the past 10 years, we've had people enter in the military service and then get out. Mm-hmm. And so there's all of these veterans who are still in our population. And so how do we welcome them home?
So that means, you know, being willing to offer them a job. I mean, you're talking pretty basic stuff, aren't you?
it's the bread and butter of things, I think. And these are qualified, sharp individuals mm-hmm. who have had, you know, their leadership tested to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. They're good to go. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll accomplish the mission, whatever the mission is. Mm-hmm. But they have to get plugged back into society.
Mm-hmm. So the concrete reality is that the best way to honor a war veteran in very many ways is to make sure that they are welcomed back in full into society and have a place to land, a job. And I imagine it's got to be incredibly discouraging to have gone overseas, to have fought for your country, to come home, to look for a job, to not be able to find employment and just sit there and process what it is that you've been through without feeling like there's anything on the other end.
Yeah, and I know the job market is already hard as is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to be in some, you know, I don't want to predict difficult times, mm-hmm. but that is a hard question to answer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I definitely don't have the answer on my own. Mm-hmm. Just a conversation we need to begin, having mm-hmm. you know, across the country. But also I would say, something that we can do, mm-hmm. a target that we know that we can hit. I honestly believe that our country can be changed with barbecue. I'm from Texas, so barbecue is usually my answer to most problems.
That's exactly right.
But the simple concept of simply, let's have some get-togethers. Let's if it's not barbecue, it's fly fishing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hunting. It's activities, and you know.
So veterans, including them in your circle and helping them get re-networked and reconnected to the society that they came out of. And although they're oftentimes landing in a completely different place than where they left from when they came into the military.
And I think that this is a definite thing churches can do, and just opening up their doors and doing events for veterans in the community. I mean, that would be beautiful, you know? Hmm. And I think it's hard to say, you know, hey, we're going to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. And that kind of freaks people out. Like, you mm-hmm. know, we're going to get really close. But if you say, hey, why don't you come out to a barbecue? Sometimes that's an easier invitation to accept than mm-hmm. saying, hey, why don't you come to church with us? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it has to start with barbecue or coffee shop or these other middle grounds mm-hmm. Before we say, hey, we got a great service, you know, this Sunday, you need to come out too. Sometimes that's too much mm-hmm. For some people. So
if you've been in the chaplaincy how long now?
For 5 years. Yes, sir.
And what do you think being in the chaplaincy has taught you as a person? It's obviously exposed you to things that I'm sure you necessarily didn't anticipate when you're sitting in class here at Dallas.
Yeah. Keep my head down. Mm. yeah, if you're low, then you're probably good. No, you know what? It's honestly, I don't think ministry is really that different anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, no matter the context or the difficulties, I just pursuing God in the midst of it, you know, making sure that I'm staying connected, making sure that I'm keeping Him the priority in my life. And that gets hard, you know, mm-hmm. whenever you are so busy and so distracted by so many different things. And so I struggle with that, to really try to keep that number one. Second, that my number one job, if I fail at everything else, as long as I really am loving these guys mm-hmm. selflessly
mm-hmm.
And, you know, putting them before myself, then I'm going to be doing ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be working on the sermons. I'm going to be doing good counselings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my top two.
Mm-hmm. What are you working on these days? What's next for you?
So the next is going to be the next film. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be starting production June 13th, and we're going to be rolling the cameras and running around with a film called No Greater Love, which mm-hmm. is the follow-up documentary, mm-hmm. which tells my story as a brand new chaplain and what the guys taught me.
Hmm.
And we will be actually following up with a lot of the guys that I served with here in the States. And so mm-hmm. I'm going to fly from Germany and do some interviews with them to see how are they coming home?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they processing? What are they dealing
with? So it's the other half of the story in very many ways.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I think it's timely too, because this is the stage we are at mm-hmm. in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we fully come home? Not just mm-hmm. physically, but mentally and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go on the journey across the country to follow up with them, but also to really explain, you know, where I'm at, mm-hmm. how I struggle with PTS, my struggles with depression, and, you know, how I'm trying to pursue help myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get through that. Because it's not that I was in some sort of miraculous bubble when I was mm-hmm. going through, mm-hmm. you know, that war. You know, I'm affected too.
mm-hmm.
God lets me be affected,
right?
You know, and so it's my journey as well. And we will finish shooting, and then we should have the film completed around October, November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which will be about the time this will release.
Right.
Are you doing this? Is this the same team that did Hornets?
Yes, sir.
So
it's the exact same team.
Okay, so you've got the reporter as a part of your
team?
He's
going to be probably one of our, we'll have to check with him. He's probably going to be one of our executive producers,
uh-huh.
and, just helping us. But, you know, we have an Emmy Award winning team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these guys are very, very sharp individuals at mm-hmm. what they do. So they're the ones who are going to be helping craft this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should hopefully, I mean, we'll have a finished product, and then we'll be 2015 is when we're really going to be running with it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Hornet's Nest is in the theaters now, and by the time this releases, it probably will no longer be there, but it'll be in DVD.
DVD and
yeah,
Blu-ray.
That's right. And as we mentioned, you're stationed in Germany. How long will you remain in Germany?
Until February 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everything that you do comes out of that. That's your base.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how long have you been there?
For 2 years right now. And so in total, I'll have been there for 3 years.
Okay.
Absolutely loving it.
Yeah. Germany's a great place to live. Like I said, we lived there a year at a time, four separate times, and,
yep.
and really enjoyed the experience. I want to ask you how your German is, and I want to ask you which Bundesliga football club you're
so. Yeah. My neighbor keeps on getting on to me too. He's like, go. "Where's your German at?" And like, I don't know. I lost it.
Yeah. Most Germans speak English, so yes, it's kind of hard to learn German.
Is.
Yeah. So you always ask them, you know, do you know English? And the answer is always a little bit, and then their German is impeccable. I mean, their English is impeccable. So you know,
their little bit is a lot.
Yeah. Exactly. If I knew the little bit of German that they knew, the little bit of English, we wouldn't be speaking in English.
No.
So it's amazing. So you've got almost another year and a half, basically, or almost 2 years left.
Well, let's see, where are we at? Actually, just
actually
a year left.
That's a year left. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so it's short.
Yeah, so it does go fast.
It does.
Yeah. And what do you hope to do when you come back?
Well, that's the thing is like it's either stay in the military or continue to work on film.
Mm-hmm.
And I've loved my time in the military. I mean, absolutely, this has been the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of in my life. But we do have some opportunities opening up, and I do love working on film. And it's so we're praying about it, you know, and just kind of seeing what direction God leads us in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do know what projects we want to work on next if that door opens. Uh-huh. And so we're praying that it does.
Now, I've indirectly asked you this, but I think I'm going to ask a focused question that does it. So if you were giving advice to someone about how to deal with a veteran who's coming home, basically, I think the bottom line of what I'm hearing from you is get to know them and help them become a part of the of the society that they're returning to. Is that the kind of the key, you know, homiletical idea here?
I'd almost like to say, I mean, like without naming the action, I would just say reach out and love,
mm-hmm.
you know, and whatever action that looks like. I mean, just to reach out and love, establish relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's, you know, in the ministry, I mean, our job is to care for people,
mm-hmm.
care for broken people,
mm-hmm.
And to just sincerely love people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the churches are designed for broken people. If it's a church that's not filled with broken people, then I'm not sure what's going on.
Right, you know? Right.
And so that's what the church is there for in these ministries. And so we have a specific influx,
mm-hmm.
of a particular group. And not all veterans are just falling apart. Most
right,
of them are
right.
normal people.
Right.
You know, but they've been through some tough stuff. And mm-hmm. so any kind of outreach just to help them connect, love on them,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I think, the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ministry.
Now, that's generic advice for anybody.
It is.
Let me focus the question in a slightly different direction, and that is, if you were to give advice to pastors of churches and to other church leaders about what to think about, because they not only have the individual responsibility of these individual relationships, but maybe even a little more corporate responsibility. What kind of advice would you give to pastors and church leaders about military who they find walking through their doors?
You know, I think one of the big fears that I've actually had a lot of personal conversations since I've been here in Dallas about, mm-hmm. is that they say, well, I don't know what it's like. I didn't deploy. I never been to war,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not really sure how to approach them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm, you know, not really sure how to talk to them, mm-hmm. about what they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice is that you don't have to be able to relate with everybody,
mm-hmm.
no matter what wounds they have, whatever they've been through. You just have to love them. You mm-hmm. just have to open up your heart to them and have confidence, not necessarily in yourself, but in what God has told you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Every person needs that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not unequipped. You're mm-hmm. not. And so that's one thing I just encourage pastors out there just to simply know that, you know, they are fully equipped for this ministry.
So just because you've never been in the military doesn't mean that you can't minister to someone
yeah.
who's been in the military. You can't sit and listen and connect with them and empathize
yeah.
and engage them at a personal level and encourage them and help
yeah.
them.
And that's the thing. It's like so many people, I think they don't know what to say, so they pull away,
mm-hmm.
and then that, you know, that veteran's off in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you don't have to know what to say. You just say, I love you. Yeah. Hey, man, welcome back. You know,
yeah, that's right.
Hey, handshake. Yeah. Thank you for your service. You want some barbecue?
Yeah.
That's all that's needed. And so there should be no awkwardness, and there should be, you know, no hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are just love people.
How, this is not sound like an odd question, but I think it's a natural one. How awkward is it for the person coming out of the military to be asked a question like, what was it like for you? Or yeah. To let them tell their story. How important is that?
Well, I mean, I think it kind of, it depends on the situation. It depends on the person, because some of them don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and there's some stuff that is hard to talk about without choking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, you know, tell me about when your best friend died.
Yeah.
Kind of a touchy subject.
Yeah,
and so
right.
It's like, and, you know, whenever guys have particular awards,
mm-hmm.
well, always keep in mind that every single award they have, chances are, is, you know, from a pretty traumatic situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to talk about. And also, it's a lot of those guys who are pinned with medals don't really like wearing them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they are going to think about their buddies who had fallen and who mm-hmm. died, and they're going to feel like, well, I wish he had it instead of me.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and so it's always painful. It's a heavy weight. So it's, I think that's something that should be kind of gauged through the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I suspect that that's part of what produces the awkwardness, is not knowing, you know, do I engage this part of this person's life, or do I keep a distance, or do I kind of let them set the parameters for how
yeah.
close I let them come, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, of course, as the relationship grows, and they'll share stuff if, you know, as they want to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the same thing with the, you know, the wounded, mm-hmm. you know, the people who are disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not the best idea to kind of start talking about, well, tell me about how this happened.
Right.
Because it could be a traumatic situation that they don't want to talk about. But, man, there's tons of stuff going on that we can talk about outside yeah. of that.
And then the tricky part of this, it strikes me in thinking about it as we talk about it, is that the situation of the spouse of the veteran is also in an interesting
yes.
place, because they can almost be double isolated, if I can say it that way. In other words, mm-hmm. you know, person reaches out to the veteran who comes back, and, you know, they're the person who's been on the ground and gone through it, and the spouse can almost be a risk being ignored in that process if
yes.
if you're not careful.
Yeah, and the thing is those spouses, and I know generalizing, but those ladies
mm-hmm.
Have made as many sacrifices. They have endured sleepless nights.
Mm-hmm.
They have during blackouts when mm-hmm. somebody's been wounded in the unit and they mm-hmm. don't know if it's their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of Gold Star wives
mm-hmm.
who are in the congregations, and some people might not even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Their sacrifices have been heavy, and the things that they have had to carry on their shoulders are unknown, unrecognized,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, nobody walks up to them and thanks them.
What's yes. a Gold Star?
So Gold Stars are people who have lost family members in the
okay.
war.
Okay.
And so spouses and parents and children. And so then they're scattered throughout, mm-hmm. you know, congregations and communities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're struggling too. There's actually a high suicide rate for Gold Stars as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's not being discussed.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked about this some, or alluded to it, and we've alluded to it as well, the suicide ideation and the pressure on suicides, and the fact that many people, when they cope, have trouble, and that there is a suicide problem with returning military, et cetera, and chaplains are right in the front lines of dealing with that aspect of what mm-hmm. goes on. Another element, and this is generic counseling in some ways, though, is if you're aware of someone who's kind of on the edge, if mm-hmm. I can say it that way, what advice would you give to the person who knows a person in the military who is struggling with their reentry?
It's there's it's easier in the Army, mm-hmm. you know, because like we can always say, well, call a chaplain, because
yeah,
that's usually their response.
Yeah.
And that's job security for us. We stay pretty busy.
Yeah.
But once they're back in the community, there's not that support system,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it is hard. I mean, I know the VFW and American Legion have great support systems, depending on from community to community.
Mm-hmm.
But it's first connecting, reaching out. You know, assessing the situation. I mean, like, what kind of resources are available?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there, you know, a minister or somebody who's willing to engage with them? And that's sometimes needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really depends on the situation, though. But I think checking in and sometimes that's scary, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, I don't know what I'm dealing with here with this person who's mm-hmm. really tense and really stressed and
mm-hmm.
really seems off. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's a broken person, then we have to check in and do ministry.
Is there a place that the military has for people, say, like me, who have no military connections whatsoever, but I might know someone who's on, let's say, the edge? Is there a place within the military for them to go, or am I left to my own?
A couple of resources that I do want to point out too. It's like there is also Military One Source,
mm-hmm.
Which is an amazing resource that people can call up mm-hmm. to. What it does is it just simply connects you to other resources.
Mm-hmm.
So that is always available. And they can also connect you to suicide hotlines
mm-hmm.
If that's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are two things. I mean, the greatest resource of all is Google. Always find what
Google
you need to
for
that.
Help. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so. I guess what I was fishing for is do the veterans organizations have a place where you can call or anything like that?
Yeah, and it depends on the area too. I know that the VA is always available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that American Legion and VFW, USO, I mean, Easter SEALs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many associations out there that can help connect. And so whatever the problem is, there are resources out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just finding it within your local community
mm-hmm.
And helping them plug in. There's also great organizations that help veterans find jobs
mm-hmm.
to translate their resume to civilian resumes.
Right.
And so these things are scattered throughout, and they're so numerous, you know, we do have the resources, just connecting
mm-hmm.
is, I think, the biggest difficulty.
Hmm. Well, Justin, I want to thank you for coming in and talking about this with us.
Yes, sir.
This has been very, very informative. I had the closest I've ever been to the military in my own experience. Actually, it was in Germany when we were in Stuttgart. We went to the International Baptist Church, which is located right next to where a series of Army installations were, and that congregation was about 30-35% military.
Yeah.
And you know, you watch them move through. And in fact, the only time I've spoken in to a military audience was in Germany to that group. And and so you know, it's a mobile, in some senses disconnected part of our society that tries to reenter, and that both the leaving and the returning are very delicate matters for people. And we appreciate both the movie, The Hornet's Nest, and you're taking the time to talk to us about military chaplaincy and what's involved in getting us sensitive to how people who serve in the military, particularly when they're just back from having served, are an important group to keep our eye on and be sensitive, particularly sensitive to, as they seek to reenter life in a more normal context than the military provides for them.
Well, and so if I can just encourage the audience, we do have a Facebook page for the next film as well.
Mm-hmm.
No Greater Love, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the website's going to be up as well. And so if people want to engage with that story, you know, we're definitely available. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we appreciate it again for you coming in, and we appreciate your joining us on The Table, where we discuss issues of God and culture. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks for listening to The Table Podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit dts.edu/thetable. Dallas Theological Seminary. Teach truth, love well.